Welcome to Politics Done Right on KCFT. I am your host, Egberto Williams. This is the progressive program that will take the mystery out of politics. This is the program that will encourage you to make sure government becomes we the people. Whether you are liberal, conservative, or otherwise, you get to air your point of view. Give me a call at 713-526-5738. That is 713-526-KPFT. Remember, you can also send me a tweet to EGBERTOWILLIES. That is at Egberto Williams. Let us engage. It is politics done right.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Welcome to one more edition of Politics Done Right. I'm Egberto Willis, your host. Happy New Year in a few hours, everybody. Shannon,
Happy
how are you doing today?
Eve. I'm good. I'm glad to be here with you.
It's a great
way of bringing in the new year.
I know, and you know what else? I brought my daughter with me to do the show as well. Ashley, how are you doing today?
I am doing well. I'm glad to be here.
You see? And she has that big smile on. Oh, yes, I got to be there with Daddy. Anyhow, folks, you know what? You know what? We're going to have a great show, Shannon. But you know what? We're going to kind of touch on Trump.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I just want to set the stage because you did a little bit of research. Tell me in 30 seconds what you found out about Trump.
Well, PolitiFact found that he is the 2015, he has a number of lies that fall under lie of the year for 2015.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, he still has followers.
A lot.
A lot of followers. And that's really pretty scary.
It's not scary. It is disconcerting. That is why we do, Shannon.
We do what we do.
That's why we do what we do. But look, folks, listen. My friends, Donald Trump could be your next president. Really? Yes, really. Right?
That's true.
So listen, there is still time to prevent America's path to fascism. You know, it will require that. Who? Liberals remember what they stand for. It will also require a dialogue with real conservatives. No one is trying to force conservatives to morph into liberals. In fact, as a liberal myself, I need conservatives to vet my ideas. I love when I vet it with them and, you know, we blow holes into things and everything. I mean, that's what it's all about, dialogue. Anyhow, that said, our path to fascism hurts conservatives, liberals, and everyone in between and beyond. So, folks, that's kind of the stuff we're going to talk about. I have a fairly long blog of the week, but I'm going to do it rather quickly when I do it. But beforehand, you know what, Shannon? Remember, we are in this. Today's the last day of our, what do we call it again? The UnDrive?
The UnDrive.
So what we want you folks to do is go to kpft.org and make a contribution. Become a member, new or otherwise. Whether you're new or not, make a contribution to Politics Done Right, to KPFT on behalf of Politics Done Right. I love that. But
we need your help.
We're way behind.
Very
so,
behind.
Folks, don't forget, we're going to be talking politics in 2 minutes here, but I really want to tell you, more than ever going forward in this election cycle, we need a strong KPFT that will be out there breaking down the crap that is coming over the airwaves. We are going to be there to do. Personally, Politics Done Right makes you a promise. We are going to be out here giving you fact-based information that you can make up your mind. We're not going to try to do it for you. But you know what, Shannon? Guess what? Before we go there, I have some thanking to do, my dear friend.
All right. Sounds wonderful. Who do we have to thank?
I have a lot of folks to thank. I want to give a big thank you to Morna Gonsolin, a returning member from Houston, Texas, with a very generous contribution.
Thank you. I know what that means.
Excellent. I want to thank Pamela Spivey of Kingwood, Texas. She became a new member for the most generous contribution that she gave. And of course, you know, my friend, she's a friend as well. And she says, Merry Christmas and a happy holiday, Egberto. So thank you very, very much.
Thank you for joining the family.
Absolutely.
We need you.
Absolutely. You are a part of the family, right, Ashley?
Yes, she is.
Absolutely. Now, look, the last one that I want to thank this afternoon is D. Coleman, a new member from Houston, Texas, who gave us a most generous contribution as well.
And thank guess you, what? D.
But guess what with D's contribution? D got is a matching contribution from her employer.
Oh, that's
so it
awesome.
Is worth more than twice what she's actually given. So Dee, thank you so kindly for being a part of our team. Thank you for being a part of the family.
And going the extra mile.
Absolutely. And we promise not to what is the word? Not to watch you. We promise to live up to your expectations.
There we go.
I just had a little brain, you know what. Anyhow, folks, before I get to the program, I want to remind all our listeners that KPFT is a bastion of intelligent voices and programs. As a political activist myself, my favorites are special programs I like. I love The Monitor with Mark Babawi on Mondays at 7 p.m. I like Think Wing Radio with Mike Honig on Mondays at 9 p.m. I love Partisan Gridlock with Jeff Berg on Fridays at 3 p.m. And of course, con mi amigo perfecto, jazz latino, Afro-Cuban Latin jazz, as it's the very best one, hosted by Juan Flores on Mondays at 10 p.m. Now, if Juan also does it on Mondays, on Mondays he does jazz latino, but he does it from noon till 2. Or is that today, actually? Anyhow, if I screwed up that thing, Juan, I'll fix it up later on. But anyway, check out our full schedule at kpft.org, where you can find programming from music to politics to medicine to the eclectic. Hey, KPFT is a listener-supported public community radio. So please remember that if you like what you hear, visit KPFT and ensure we remain a strong, viable community radio station that provides news, programming, and information not influenced by the corporatocracy. In other words, folks, we need you, and you should have what we are here offering. That's what we're here for. But you know, folks, what time it is? Do you know what time it is? Do you know what time it is?
It's time for the weekly blog post.
Okay. We are going to start the new year right. We are going to start the new year right. And of course, it starts by getting us into the right frame of mind and thinking right. I titled the blog of the week, "Liberals Must Be the Glue to Hold to the Glue to Donald Trump's Divide and Conquer Spoils." Then the subtitle, "Liberals Must Be Ready to Mitigate Trump's Damage." We must be ready because, folks, we are the ones that are going to be picking up the pieces. We are the ones that are going to make us whole. Folks, remember, this is a call-in show, 713-526-5738. Again, that number is 713-526-5738. As soon as I'm done with the blog of the week, as long as I have calls, we'll get busy with that. If we don't have any calls then, there's some other important stuff to cover. But I want to hear from you guys. So 713-526-5738. Here goes the blog. "This will pain many. Donald Trump has a strategy that could win him the Republican nomination. Worse, he will have a different strategy that could win him the White House. To be clear, Rand Paul once had a strategy that could win as well. It withered when many narratives changed within his party and the nation. If liberals neutralize Trump's divide and conquer modal, the change narrative will have his bid wither as well. To begin with, liberals must be the glue that holds Donald Trump's throwaways, the spoils, together. They must embrace who they claim to be in words and deed. Absent that, Trump or one of his ilk could easily win. So far, Donald Trump has alienated blacks, Latinos, immigrants, Muslims, liberals, women, and few others. His method, however, has been strategic. He attempts to make those that he disparages he makes sure that those that he disparages are disparaged by other groups he disparages. He then takes some action to invite the chosen ones of the disparaged groups into the fold, meeting with black ministers, addressing Latino conferences, etc., etc., etc. Look, folks, Trump's attack Muslims in a manner that everybody feels suspect of Muslims. He attacks Black Lives Matter and pairs them with false crime data. He attacks Latinos and immigrants by painting them as more violent than the population at large. His off-the-cuff remark about women are simply attempts to diminish women's status to create the subliminal message that women cannot or should not be president. So far, liberals have done a good job of either helping his modus operandi or have taken him for granted. They do that at their own peril and at the peril of the country. When Black Lives Matter came to the bastion of liberal prose and thought, at Netroots Nation 2015, the disgust exhibited by many liberals created a fracture that will not easily be healed. Black Lives Matters realize that all were not on board with what is an existential fight for them. The terrorist attack in France, in Paris, France, and a subsequent attack in San Bernardino, California, along with Trump's Muslim-hating narrative, have left many Muslims wondering, where are their friends? Many polls indicate that many Americans, including liberals, have bought into the fallacy of the overbearing Muslim threat. The killing of one undocumented Latino immigrant was allowed to be taken out of context. Donald Trump made it, and the traditional media allowed it to be a stamp on the undocumented Latino immigrant. Of course, liberals should know much better. We're liberals. They should be the ones with the intellectual and moral prowess to mitigate Trump and his ilk. So far, some are failing, and others are simply assuming that the goodness of most Americans will inoculate us from a Trump presidency or the presidency of others in the current Trump clown cart. The stark reality is very different. To many in the Black Lives Matter, they feel they are fighting a battle alone. To be clear, they have no fear of doing so. Many in the movement believe that liberals and the black civil rights movement have failed. They believe that when Martin Luther King turned the other cheek, it was a sign of weakness. After all, if your rights and freedoms are given to you as opposed to being taken through fighting, strength, and absolute resolve, it can easily be taken away. Why? Because the arbiter of said freedom may feel there are no consequences for taking it away. Read voting rights. Read police brutality. Read credit abuse. Read more and more and more. As political party outsiders, because of a lack of allies within, guess what BLM may just do? They may just forego the election. The same similarity applies to Muslims. They see that vast majority of violent crimes and terrorist attacks are effected by white men. They see excuses being made for these perpetrators in the attempt to segregate those bad deeds from Muslim bad deeds. That misreporting affects the population at large. The national narrative gives the impression there is a Muslim problem that we must fight over there and we must keep those over here in check. Why aren't we exposing the right-wing militias throughout the country? Does anyone recall any real analysis of what happened in the mass killing with gangs in Waco? Did that really get any real examination? Undocumented immigrants are a net positive to the American society. They are the ones that afford otherwise lower middle class to middle class folks to have a semblance of a good life through their good service and general inexpensive and affordable labor. They fill a niche very few want to talk about or are ever honest about. Moreover, they are loved by corporations because in certain specific areas, they negatively affect wages for the American citizen. Many pay Social Security taxes. They will never get back in Social Security payments. Most to all pay the regressive taxes. Most of all of them. They pay regressive taxes, though. Sales taxes, fees, etc., 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 as well as income taxes. Their crime rates in the aggregate are lower. Look, here's the reality. Liberals must decide that they won't be taken in by the Trump narrative. It can be rather appealing to some Democrats and liberals alike when they let their guards down if liberals become the glue that shows the humanity and commonality between all of the Trump spoils, as well as appeal to those misled by the right. A 2016 presidential win is possible. Look, there is one more caveat. The Democratic Party must allow a real debate of ideas between the Democratic candidates. Everyone must have an opportunity to see these candidates often. They must debate often in order to generate an excitement for a necessary message to emerge. The one with the best message must emerge. If that occurs, he or she will have coattails as they bring in other politicians to this of the same ilk to make implementation a possibility. A coronation will not do. A coronation leaves those not coronated with the same feeling. Black Lives Matter, Muslims, Latinos, and others tend to feel. Why support a party that have failed me? Why even vote? We all know the answers to those things, my dear friends. My dear listeners, you guys know the answer to this. Remember, this is a call-in show, 713-526-5738. We have open lines, 713-526-5738. I think we are ready for our first caller, which is Brother John. Come on in, Brother John.
Hey, how y'all doing? Happy New Year to all of you.
Happy
Love y'all
New Year.
God bless.
Talk to me, my friend.
Okay, well, let's do a little Trump dump real quick. Two names you can research, and you could do a show just on this alone.
Yes.
Nikki Scarfo, and I'm not sure it's Daniel, but it is Mr. Gambino. I think
right.
It's Daniel Gambino.
Yes.
I'm sure those names sound a little familiar to you.
Of course. Scarfo sounds very familiar.
Yeah, yeah. So does the Gambino name, correct?
Right, right.
Yeah, these are his contractor buddies.
Exactly.
Okay, they're the ones. Those are his negotiators. Trump is too much of a wussy to go in an actual negotiating meeting. These guys negotiate.
Right.
You know, and then there's the Trump. Here, Trump dumped to you real quick. How about the 150 illegal Polish construction workers that were on one of his Trump building job sites?
John.
Got taken to court over it in the Supreme Court.
Brother John, let me tell you something, first
yeah,
of all.
Well, Trump, real quick, Trump
yes.
said, well, Judge, I don't know what you're talking about, what Polish guys are talking about. He said, they're the ones without the hard hat speaking in that Eastern accent.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Now,
and it's just a fact.
Look, sir,
yeah.
You are absolutely right, like you always are whenever you call here, my dear
well,
friend.
Research, you know.
Amen, but let me tell you something. Good research, first of all. I commend you on the research. But
well,
I want to tell you one other thing that we need you to do other than just the research. Because in my book, right, while all those things that Donald Trump has done, hired illegal workers,
mm-hmm.
I don't like to call them illegal workers, undocumented workers. Nobody's
right,
an illegal
right,
person,
right.
Whatever the case is. Here's the deal. It doesn't really matter, because what I am concerned about, what we should be concerned about, is forget about him and let's get guys start to talk about policies. I don't want to talk about
right.
having any illegal folk working or whatever you want to call folks working. I want to start talking policy. What's going to help middle class America move forward? That woman that's going to work in the morning, that single mother, that family that is working their butts off for a salary that they of which they deserve actually quite a bit more.
Not, exactly.
What society has been doing currently, my dear friend, is saying this to people. Let's worry about mm-hmm. things like illegal aliens. Let's undocumented workers.
Oh, yeah,
let's worry
all,
about
yeah.
all
I mean,
these
you
other...
Back in history. It's always
right.
been somebody.
And think about all these other subjects
yep.
that really... When somebody gets into the car, and including a lot of the people that you argue with that say, oh, look at all the illegals or whatever... Most of those people that are going to work in the mornings, none of that affects them. And they're,
right.
so we have a whole bunch of politicians speaking about things that have no material effect on the individual people. What we want to do, John, and I got to let you go after this one. What we have to do, John, is to start forcing ourselves to talk issues that matter to
exactly,
that, to that
exactly.
person that's
the
going to work.
War that we face to start with.
Yes,
media,
sir.
Ignorance, you know, lack of knowledge,
absolutely.
Which is the research, and being the glue, tying these together and coming up with a solution. So we have something to say, look, can't do this, but let's try this. You know, right. You can't just holler at everything. There has to be solutions
thank
behind
you.
It.
Brother,
it's going to take a while.
Brother John.
And I'll let you go, too.
Thank you very much. Happy
yeah.
New Year, and you behave yourself tonight, okay?
Yeah, see you next year. Take care. Bye, Shannon.
All right, brother.
Bye, Brother John.
All right, let's go to John number two. Come on, John. How are you doing today?
Good afternoon, Egberto.
Hey, my señor John from San Antonio. How are you doing, my dear friend?
Pretty good. A little bit disappointed in your last two sentences
tell me the last two sentences, because I forgot.
Yeah, about saying why support a party that failed me.
Oh.
Also, why even vote?
Okay, stop, John. I really don't want to disappoint you, because I know what disappointed you in that sentence, and that was a rhetorical sentence. I'm getting some feedback somehow, but that was a rhetorical sentence. You know me too much to know that I don't mean that. But continue, my friend.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm just kind of wondering about your piece. I'm wondering, how do you think that should people be responding? In other words, Sanders and Hillary, should they be responding to Trump at all until the general election? Or, I mean, how do you think that they should play this?
Right now, I think if we let the Trump card go, they'll burn themselves together and Trump may become the nominee. I'm not even sure. The truth of the matter is that what I want on the Democratic side is I want to see the Democrats have such strong discussions that engage people that they get a part of they get either coverage in the media, which they, you know, Trump will always get because the media is so shallow, he's going to always get it. But if we can start talking issues that affect people and start talking about them specifically, as an example, when Trump said he's going to bring Bill Clinton into the fold about all his peccadilloes of 20 years ago, right? The whole media cycle started to talk about Bill Clinton and what Bill Clinton did 20 years ago. But nothing changed. Nothing changed about, or nobody started talking about the policies that we need to implement going forward. So we spend a whole day on that. Tomorrow we'll spend a whole day of some other tweet that Trump sends. I want to get away from that.
You know, somebody running for office.
Yes.
Can you afford to do that? Look what happened to John Kerry when they Swift voted him. He did not respond.
Right.
And so he lost a lot of momentum. He lost. Some people say he lost the election at that point because he did not respond.
And
so what I agree with what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have to respond by talking about issues.
Right.
And so, in other words, you can bring up things like Trump always talks about how the Chinese are eating our lunch.
Right.
Yet as a businessman, he did nothing. He didn't take his Trump ties that were sold at Macy's. He didn't have those were made in China.
Right.
He didn't say, no, I'm not gonna sell these unless you actually make these in America. He didn't do that. He is a huge hypocrite.
I understand,
a tremendous hypocrite.
Soon.
And so you have to actually talk about the policies that he brings up,
John,
and talk about like his economic policy, which was just more of a plutocrat's dream.
John,
I mean, when he was at the beginning of the issues, he was talking about, you know, economic populism. Then he comes out with an actual white paper
that was completely
and it's all
opposite,
for the plutocracy.
Yes. John, I got to put you on hold because we have to go to weather and traffic. But I'm going to come back to you exactly. We have another call to pick up, and then we'll go to weather. I want to actually talk to you about something that Vernie did, and I actually blogged about it. It's important in the way he actually addressed. The way he actually addressed exactly what I was saying about how do you get away from what Trump is doing to change the subject, and instead, how do you make it the subject? Because the blog that I wrote a couple days ago was a perfect example of how Bernie is actually doing it. I've started doing it. But folks, this is a call-in show. We still have lines open, 713-526-5738. We're going to have to run to traffic in a minute as soon as Shannon put all these guys on hold. So in the meantime, while Shannon is doing that, let me ask you a couple other things, John. And that is, I think you do realize that he is sucking all the air out of any kind of policy discussion going forward in the national election. So we have to put a stop to that somehow.
Yeah, I mean, we do, but I mean, I think what you're saying, though, is that there's not an attempt being made to do that.
Exactly.
And I think that there is an attempt to being made. It's just that, I mean, you know, I agree with you. I mean, the media is just feeding this.
Right.
But I mean, we also have to fight back against Trump, and I don't think the fight, we haven't been successful in doing that. And, I mean, one thing that we can do is what, I mean, not that I think Chris Matthews is that great, but, I mean, he did bring up, you know, one of his biggest negative points is birtherism.
Exactly.
I mean, and people should be bringing that up. I mean, and Democrats should be bringing that up. You know, activists should be bringing that up. I mean, just get in his face all the time.
No, I got to... I got to put you on hold 1 second because we got to go to traffic, and then I'm going to come back to you, John, and then I'll take the other callers as well. Come on in.
All right. Thank you, Egberto. It is currently 55 degrees and scattered clouds here in the heart of Montrose, which is today's high. Cloudy skies tonight and 30% chance of rain showers through New Year's Day. Low of 47 degrees. Tomorrow's high should be about 51 degrees. But let's take a brief look at our roadways. It is pretty clear out there, except for a few incidences such as on the South Loop. Eastbound at Calise, there's a hazmat spill caused by a heavy truck accident that's affecting four frontage lanes in that area. And on the South Loop westbound at Kirby, an accident was just cleared up that is still affecting backing up traffic in from two center lanes, and that's backing up in the area from Scott to Fannin. You are also slow going on the North Freeway outbound from Cavalcade to Tidwell, but it's not bad out there at all. It's not surprising since it is a holiday, so enjoy the day. That's a look at your Houston area weather and traffic. I'm Shannon McKerchie, and you are listening to Politics Done Right on with Egberto Willis and on KPFT Houston 90.1.
Well, thank you. Let's go to I'm going to put John on hold. Put John on hold for me, and let's go to Barry, and then we'll come back to John because we have some other stuff to talk about. Barry, come on in. I just want to hear Barry's comment today.
Yeah, let's please put John on hold, okay?
Let me hear your comment. Barry, come on in. I because I know I'm going to want John to respond to you. Go ahead.
I said please put John on hold. I'm concerned with the Democrats. Why are they sweating bullets over the Republican Party's nominee? Last time I checked, the Trumpster, which is his new street name, was not running for the Democrat Party nomination. Mm-hmm. He was running for the Republican Party nomination. And if the primary voters in Republican states put in more votes for Donald Trump, then Donald Trump is the Republican Party nominee. And come next November, if the American people, in their freedom to vote in greater numbers for Donald Trump than the Democrat nominee, guess what? Donald Trump is the president of the United States. But let me say to Democrats, you, my friends, are all lovely, too. But we are Republicans, and you are just you. Now, the way you protest this is, you don't vote for Donald Trump. What a concept. Are you saying we don't have to vote for Donald Trump?
That's why you're such a good man, Barry. I love you, Barry. But hey, listen to me, Barry. I'm just curious right here. Who do you support in the Republican Party?
I just told you the Trumpster. Next question.
Oh, I missed that. I didn't quite understand.
I said that, of course you don't. Don't listen. Okay. You hear what you want to hear.
Oh no, I'm sorry, sir. God forgive me for not having heard that.
But why are the Democrats sweating the Republican Party's nominee?
I will answer that question. Okay.
First of all, let's let the Democrat process work itself out.
Listen. I'll tell you, I'll give you the answer, and it's this exact thing that John specified, and that is, if Trump stayed out of the Democratic domain, if you will, I think Democrats would have stayed out of that domain, but he is challenging the Democratic domain, and John is absolutely right when John says that we must, whoever Democrats, need to push back. So John is very right.
Now, what is the Democrats from pushing back?
Nothing.
Okay, then, wait. If Donald Trump has the media hanging on his every word, does that mean that Donald Trump is playing the game better?
Not really. It just means
let's not give credit where credit is due.
No, it's not that at all. I mean, it's not that at all. It's celebrity.
Just saying, we believe that the Republican Party can handle this, that we were the party that ended slavery, that kept the Union together in the Civil War, that knocked down the Soviet Union into socialism and communism. Mm-hmm. So we believe that we got this. So let us concentrate on our nominee, a better use of the Democrats' time and energy. We need to concentrate on your side of the ticket.
Okay, before I let you go, Barry, I want to tell you one thing that you need, that you're a smart man, okay? And there's something that I think you're an educated man as well. You must remember that the Dixocrats are now the Republicans. And if you don't understand what that means, go look it up. But thank you, Barry, for calling, and you have a wonderful day, my dear friend. Let's go to line number one with Max. Max, come on in.
Yes, hi, it's Matt. I'm a truck driver. I'm sitting at a truck stop in Houston and enjoying this political discussion. I appreciate you taking my call.
Well, I appreciate you calling in, my friend. Thank you very much for listening, and I hope you'll tell all your truckers on the way there's this station called 90.1 FM KPFT to check it out. Talk to me, my brother.
I'm afraid that not enough of them listen to it, but I guess what I wanted to say is I'm afraid that the Democrats just aren't going to get it done for us laborers, mm-hmm. for us workers mm-hmm. that make up the vast majority of the population.
Yes.
I would like to encourage your listeners to check out masspartyoflabor.org.
Okay. What is, tell me about that.
Well, it is the Workers International League, and we are trying to work on building a mass party of labor as mm-hmm. an alternative to the Democrats. I just don't think the Democrats are going to get it done for us. They've disappointed time and time again. The other thing I'd like to say is encourage your listeners to check out socialistappeal.org.
Mm-hmm.
They have a very good analysis of Bernie Sanders' run for the Democratic nomination, and I think that will give a different perspective to that effort as well.
Why don't you tell me a synopsis, because you kind of piqued my curiosity with the different view that one might have of Bernie Sanders. What's your thought there?
Well, I think that he has a wonderful record and a consistent political record for standing up for the working class, mm-hmm. and I admire him for that. But the history of people who have that record, mm-hmm. but then opt to go with the Democratic Party is not good. It has never worked out for him. Tried to go mainstream, and it just has not worked out. And I think the only real solution is for a new left party, and that's what our campaign is for, the Mass Party of Labor.
Mm-hmm.
I want to
answer you before you finish your comment,
sure, my friend.
I really want to answer you, because I have torn myself into pieces. And before I say that, I want to remind folks that this is a call-in show. We have some more lines open, 713-526-5738. Again, 713-526-5738. I would love to get more people into the discussion. And likewise, do remember that this is our fund drive. So if you go to kpft.org, you can as well make sure that programs like this continue on air. What I want to tell you, Max, is as follows, okay? I am a realist. I believe that the Democratic Party many times have sold out to the corporatocracy, to the plutocracy. There's absolutely no doubt about that. I also acknowledge the fact that this two-party system is almost ingrained into the system. So there are two battles that one can fight, right? One can fight the battle as you're fighting, in mm-hmm. which you try to mobilize people for a labor's party, a party that comes together and gets something done. I'll be honest with you, I love that idea. I would love to create a new party that stands for the people, because we are, in fact, the majority. What I always tell you, I tell the same thing that I give the same answer to the Green Party. When I take all these little exams that say, where are you politically? I usually don't come out as a Democrat. I usually come out as a Green Party person. But I am a staunch member of the Democratic Party. Why is that the case? Pragmatism. Now, you may say pragmatism, right? And you may say pragmatism does not work. My answer to pragmatism.
I've given money to the Democrats too, believe me.
Right, but what I'm saying, when you talk about pragmatism, right? What I want to say about pragmatism is as follows. I believe if the structures are made in such a manner that it's almost fixed for two parties, right? Then what you have to do is become a virus. How does a virus
inside
work?
Inside the party.
Right. My daughter studies medicine. She knows, she understands the structure of viruses. Viruses go into the body, and it causes the own body to replicate itself. Okay? So what I want to do is, I want all folks that think like you. I'm not telling, and here's the funny thing about it. There's nothing that stops you from doing both, right? And then whichever one wins. So I try to keep things open. And when I say open, I mean I don't think I know more than you do. I don't think you know more than X person does. So therefore, I agree in taking ideas from all sides. In fact, that's the reason I like to hook up with conservatives as well. Why? I can learn. I can learn from everybody.
It's good to have an open mind.
Exactly.
Also, the way that the Republicans are going, I mean, it's basically a neo-Confederate party at this point.
Well,
I understand what you're saying.
Yes. And the thing, so what I'm saying to you is as follows. Do what you do, but do nothing to make it worse for yourself and the people that you support. And that is what we have to do as leaders in any movement. Any movement that you be, and by the way, when I say leaders of every movement, I'm talking if there are two or three people following you and trying to get certain things done. Brother, sister, you're a leader. Because you're going
May I give those websites again then?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Mass Party of Labor, masspartyoflabor.org, and socialistappeal.org, Workers International League.
Well, look, I appreciate your call, my friend.
Thank you very much. Is there anything else you
want to add before I go to the next call?
No, not really. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, sir. Let's go to line, the next line, I think it's Scott. Scott, come on in, Scott.
Thank you.
Scott, hold one second before I get to you. Folks, please remember this is a call-in show. Give us a call at 713-526-5738. We have open lines, 713-526-5738. Let me hear your opinions on what's going on in our current body politic. I think you may have your radio up, Max. I'm not sure.
It's in the other room.
Oh, okay. Anyhow, come on in, my friend. What would you like to add?
Okay, well, I think many issues are best handled
feedback, by I don't know.
People in the public who speak out on the internet or KPFT, not just leave it up to candidates. Oh, for example, Bill Clinton may come under attack for what he was doing back in 1998.
Right.
I'm going to say that's just personal stuff. I don't think it would not have come to light except Republicans contrived a lawsuit against him, and they were determined to destroy a Democratic president. And back at that time, I was going to a workshop for gay men about relationships. And open relationships were brought up about this therapist who led it, brought up open relationships as a possibility and talked about them objectively and ideas about how to do them. And my thought was the Clintons were having an open relationship. Now, later I heard Hillary Clinton on audio say she was pretty clear she did not consent to an open relationship, or at least that's what she said. However, here's something to think about. Suppose she had said that she had an open relationship. Wouldn't that freak out too many of her constituents?
Of course, that would have been. Wouldn't it be elected?
Politically incorrect to say you have it for a politician to say he or she has an open relationship,
even
a Democratic politician.
Yeah, absolutely. Because even most Democrats don't at that time didn't support that sort of a relationship.
Yeah. Now that's something I don't expect the Clintons to talk about, but I'm at liberty to talk about it. In fact, if I met them, I might consider bringing it up and saying that's how I look at things. And I don't know. My sister has got her picture taken with Bill Clinton a few years ago, and I have it on the wall in this room. So I guess there's a chance I could meet him, or possibly Hillary Clinton. You know, I've only met one president of the United States, and that was with George H.W. Bush in 1964.
Okay, well, that's good. Great to hear, Scott, but here's the deal. You keep listening, you keep calling, and remember to tell folks about KPFT. We got to go to the next caller, okay, my friend?
Okay, thank you.
You have a wonderful day. Now let's go to line.
That's John.
Line number three, John. Let get back into you. But before I go to you, let me tell folks the telephone number here is 713 713-526-5738. We are light on the calls today, so you can get quick access, 713-526-5738. Give us a call. Let's talk about what are you doing for the new year? What do you think we should work on the body politic for 2016? I'm so used to saying 2015. Anyhow, come on in, John.
All right, Egberto. Let me respond to Barry first.
I figured you would.
I can't believe that Barry, you know, doesn't understand what a racist Trump is, or I mean, what his denial mechanism is, when Trump keeps mentioning all this stuff about the woman card, and you know, I'm sure he's mentioned before about people playing the black card.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's been very denigrated Black Lives Matters. You know, he's always taking down the police actions that have been so negative toward the African American community, and I mean, it's just unreal. I mean, you know, David Duke actually said, you know, I've never gone as far as Trump.
Think about it. Think so, about that. Think about
yeah,
that, John.
I mean, we really should think about that. And I gotta give some props to the African American community, because 70% of the African American women turned out in 2012.
Right.
And 60% of the men, they were actually at 65% in general,
mm-hmm.
and that was higher than the white turnout. So I really hope that the African American community will turn out this year. And that's extremely important.
I've had to make that comment to a lot of people, because in a lot of these elections, we have this stereotype on minorities in the aggregate that they don't vote. And in the last couple of elections, that was definitely not the case. So, I mean, you're correct about that. But what we want in this next election, and it's not just about black vote, it's not just about white vote, Hispanic, Latino vote. I really want the masses to vote. Because if the masses vote, first of all, we need there to be a robust debate on policy. What is electing the next president going to do for you? And it's not only the next president. I don't want folks concentrating on just the next president. I want them concentrating on the next House, the next Senate, because just a next president will do very little. But if we get... one of the reasons I always talk about having one of the reasons I kind of like a Bernie Sanders in is the only way Bernie Sanders gets into the White House is if he has a hell of a lot of coattails, because that would be a dramatic change in the psyche of Americans to elect somebody like Bernie, and that comes with a lot of change, not only for that person but for the entire chain. Shannon, were you trying to get me to go to move on to the traffic?
Only in a few minutes, but actually, you know, there's some interesting facts about
mm-hmm.
Trump in general that came out through that article. But I want to continue with our dear callers.
Okay.
Conversation.
And then you can bring that up afterwards. I would love
yes.
to hear that. Okay, let me put John on hold and let's go to the new caller. That's Dwayne.
Oh,
it is?
Yes, how are you?
Come on in, Dwayne. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. How are you doing today?
Great. Talk to me.
Hey, it just amazes me when I look at the intellect, and not to insult anyone, across the board in America, where the majority of, I think, Republican Party members are what we used to call middle-class, blue-collar laborers.
Right.
And they are so in tune to a Donald Trump, who is a born millionaire and lived his life as a billionaire,
right.
And how people can think that he has something in common with them. I think that I heard this guy call him the Trumpster.
Right.
I like to call him the trickster, because I think he is tricking a lot of people into really, you know, just believing that he has something in common with the common man
and
woman out here.
I love that you said that, Dwayne. I so love that you said that, because what you said is so very important. And here's the deal, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
The deal is that we are not, and when I say we, first of all, we know the media, it's not going to do the job. They are not
right.
going to do the job. We have to do it. And I don't know about you, but I have a lot of Republican friends. You have a lot of Republican and Democratic friends. The thing about it is, we have to use the geometric progression of individual access to people and keep them talking to one another, one another. And when we, and that's the policy that we have to do. Now, one of the issues right now that, and I was speaking to John about that before when I told John, the problem is I want to start talking policy. Because, I mean, what happens is Trump brings up something on Twitter today, and the entire mainstream media is going to talk about that one silly issue, and we don't talk about, okay, how can we make healthcare work in as much as Obamacare started the job? How can we really make it work better?
The question I keep asking my Republican friends is, what is this platform?
They can't answer.
They have no answer for it.
And here's the thing.
What does he stand for? What is he going to deliver? Well, what is his policy profile?
Let me tell you.
None of them can stand. Only thing they can tell you is all the idiotic rhetoric that he regurgitates.
But there's another thing. there's something that very few people realize, and it's within our system. And it goes with anybody, whether you're black, white, or whatever. But right now he's playing a particular card. And this is something that I've written about before. And this is very important. In this country, minorities, by definition, have always had it harder in the aggregate. Yes, we have the oppressed and we have the Sams, all the other folks, but have always had it hard, okay?
Hard.
So there's a particular segment in this society who knew what it was to have it hard, who knew what certain problems were.
Right.
As the plutocracy has taken just about everything from those people, and I'm oversimplifying it, but I'm trying to get a picture across. The plutocracy has taken a whole lot of just about everything from these folks. Now where we're at, and then again, the plutocracy has simply forgotten about Appalachia, left the poor white people without a voice, without anything to talk about, and they forget about them in the mountains in the whole of Appalachia.
You keep them in the coal mine in
right,
the dark.
And you keep them, so they don't really know much of what's going on. And then what they do is they concentrate on, I mean, what the rest of general America, the rest of general white America was doing fine. Well, the plutocracy has to keep growing. It has to keep eating. It has to keep expanding. Well, they've taken away everything from everybody else.
That's right.
Who's next?
That's right.
Who is next? The next is our white brothers and sisters now. They are now going to be in the game. They are now going to be extracted from. But then the plutocracy can't just do that. They must say, you know why you are having that trouble? You see those Latinos over there? And by the way, the Muslims are doing this to you. And by the way, you see them black folk? They just want that welfare. And the reason you don't have, it's not that the plutocracy is extracting everything, as the numbers prove. And anybody who's listening to me, if you want specific numbers, my dear friends, my dear listeners, I can provide them for you. It's right there at the BLS. Okay? So
it's always been a constant that the 1%ers, the labor, keeps the labor forces against each other.
Right.
And they keep us against each other by skin color, by demographic, by area, whatever they can to keep us against. And my problem now is because of that guy over there.
Exactly.
And not because of, you know, what's going on in the world, you know.
Well, Dwayne, here's how we mitigate it. First of all, we have to go to our Latino brothers and sisters or white brothers and sisters. What I use a term that all the time. I say we have to unite Appalachia, the ghettos, and the barrios. I mean, it's stereotypical. That's a stereotypical statement, but it gets the point across, and I'll use it in every program. Let's unite the Appalachia, the barrios, and the ghettos. And once we do that, we see how much we have in common. And once we see how much we have in common, we can move on. Look, it has been a pleasure speaking to you, my friend. I need to go to the other call. You have a wonderful day. Let's go to line number 3.
That's a donation.
Okay. I can't take line number 3. So I think you want to do traffic or you want to go to the...
Perfect.
Traffic. Okay, let's go traffic.
All right. Let's take a brief look at the what's going on around town. It is currently 55 degrees in overcast skies. And let's take a look at in Galveston. It is 55 degrees. and overcast as well. Livingston is an overcast 54, and Huntsville is mostly cloudy 54. So pretty similar around town. But let's take a quick look at our roadways. On the South Loop eastbound at Calise, there's still that hazmat spill caused by that heavy truck accident affecting four frontage lanes, but traffic's not bad in the area at the moment. Just beware. A slow going on the West Loop in both directions from Fornis to the Katy Freeway, and traffic is moving about 29 miles per hour on the North Freeway outbound from Cavalcade to Tidwell. Slow going on Highway 6 southbound from the west, from West to Memorial and from Richmond to Beechnut. And that's a look at your Houston area weather and traffic. I'm Shannon McKerchie, and you are listening to Politics Done Right with Egberto Willis on KPFT Houston 90.1.
Thank you very much, Shannon. Thank you very much,
Always
Shannon.
Always welcome.
Hey, I want to give a very, very big thank you to James Matujic. If I said that wrong, forgive me, but I do appreciate the kind donation to Politics Done to KPFT on behalf of Politics Done Right. Folks, this is what we need to keep this station going. We need your support, of course. We need the support to have stations that are independent of the plutocracy, independent of the oligarchy, to ensure that we can make the right decisions. As it stands right now, the reasons why the middle class is in dire straits is mostly because of information. Let's go to line number one. Line number one. Come on in. Let's go to, I think that is
Robert.
Come on in, Robert.
Yes, sir, Egberto. You have educated me, my friend, to no beyond. You are awesome.
Well, thank you, my brother.
I got 2 points.
Yes, sir.
Okay, the Trump, when he opened his mouth a year ago, I said, yeah, keep opening your mouth. But what scares me is these people that follow him and the media. And number two, why isn't the Democratic Party digging into their own pockets for ads to counteract this stuff?
Well, you know, I always, you know, a lot of times I sit down and wonder things like that. And then I come to a conclusion. The way the plutocracy runs this country, and people are going to, don't think I'm just a conspiracy theorist type of a person. It's not that at all. But if you take a look at the channel that they try to keep us in, the Republican and the Democratic channel, right?
Mm-hmm.
There is a huge difference on certain types of policies, but still everybody works within a certain channel. And if you get too left of the channel, not good. If you get too right of the channel, not good. So, I mean, look, if people were to go out there and tell the truth about our economic system, how it has failed most Americans, and how a lot of what the media puts out is nothing but sort of propaganda to keep a failed system going.
Absolutely.
That would actually affect Democrats as well, because Democrats don't want to say that, because then the plutocracy will starve them of money. Now,
sure.
So we have to realize that we're fighting an interesting battle here. It's a very, very difficult battle. When I was speaking earlier to the other caller, I don't remember the name right now, and said that we have to be a virus, the only way we're going to solve this is changing certain things from, in my opinion, that is. Other people have other opinions, but like I said, everybody should run on their opinion as long as we're fighting for the same goal. But my thing is that you change it from the inside, and you do it, and I think we can. Now, education is the biggest factor. Getting people to really have a worth and faith in themselves comes first. Because a lot of people right now are just throwing their hands up in the air and thinking, I cannot make a difference. I am saying,
you have to have a venue to get that out.
And that's KPFT is one venue.
Oh, it's awesome.
And
yes,
we are building other venues. You're going to see more sites come out and more encouragement of people to get to these areas, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we're moving there. We're going to be running a little bit low on time, my friend. So look,
yes, sir.
I appreciate your call. I appreciate you. Please keep listening.
I appreciate you.
Thank you, sir.
And they need to give you more time.
Well,
you're awesome. You're an educator, sir.
Well, thank you very much, my brother. And look, tell folks about KPFT. We need to have folks listening. We need to have folks being a part of the family. Take care, my brother.
Yes, sir. Take care.
Right.
Bye-bye.
All right, let's go to Joe. Come on in, Joe.
What's up, my man?
Talk to me.
I just caught the tail end of a discussion, and and I didn't hear really all the callers, but your producer or somebody told me that Trump was the issue today. And, you know, I think that Trump is you know, he's being disingenuous, right, with his anti-immigration stance.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, I don't think any of them believe what they're saying up there, except for Bernie Sanders, of course.
I agree.
But consider this. Like, let's say that my nephew is an unskilled worker, right, and he's trying to support his family, and he's watching his wages go down and down and down because, basically, illegal aliens are coming here and driving wages down for a lot of the unskilled Americans that are already here.
Okay, let me answer that question that way, because, you know, that's a very valid point. Okay, I mean, I have no argument with somebody that says there are unskilled Americans and there are unskilled undocumented workers coming to the United States. That is a problem. Let's not run away from that issue. The question is, how do you handle it? And let me tell you how you handle it. First of all, when it talks about borders and all that sort of stuff, we have to realize that it's a plutocracy that wants these folks in to do exactly what you said they're doing. Now, after they're in, you can't then just say, let's throw them out because we've done used them up. Let's get rid of them now. We are saying for today, for the status quo as it is right now, we mitigate the issue as it is now. And when it comes to bringing the folks in, let's say undocumented folks crossing, which is a disparate with the population, we can handle that later. We've already done wrong. It wasn't the average American citizen doing wrong. It is the corporations who at the meat packers wanted to reduce the salaries of the meat packers. It's the person who decided that instead of paying $40 to do their lawns, wanted to do $15 for their lawns, so they hired somebody that was. I mean, it's a picture that all of us are part of.
How do we get control of the situation?
Let me tell you, it's
build a wall.
No, we don't build a wall. We gotta go.
That would absolutely control the situation.
No, it would not. Let me tell you why it will not.
If we had a 100% perfect wall.
No, sir. Can I tell you something? Here, most undocumented people are in this country not crossing the border. They came on a vacation. I just got told I had 30 seconds. But you know, I know where you're going, and I'd like to continue this talk with you. So let's listen again next week. Let's talk about it, because I like the tact that you're taking. It's important, and a lot of people need to hear that, because that is how things get changed. Folks, this is Politics Done Right. I'm Egberto Willis. I really appreciate the time that you have spent with me. Please remember, we are still in a little drive. Go to kpft.org and donate to KPFT. Egberto Willis, Politics Done Right, and I am out.
Thank you very much for listening to Politics Done Right. I am your host, Egberto Willis. You can personally reach me by sending an email to egberto@politicsdoneright.com. Remember, Egberto is spelled EGBERTO. Change starts with you. 90.1 KPFT gives you information not tainted by corporate interest. Please visit kpft.org and contribute. Let's ensure continued access to real information and news remain available to all. Again, thank you very much for listening to Politics Done Right.